I've been working on a study for fruit of the Spirit. It's mentioned two times in Scripture. Y'all, can y'all hear me okay back there? Okay? You can, okay, that's good. It's mentioned two times in Scripture. In Galatians, we can turn to Galatians 5:16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall be fulfilled, shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now then, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these?" And it goes on to say the nastiest things of the flesh. And we go to 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." I presented this study a few weeks ago on Pow Talk. And for those of you that aren't on Pow Talk, I encourage you to do so because we all get a blessing out of that. But this fruit of the Spirit is all of the attributes that God pushes for us to adhere to. I had a slide to put up, but our projector isn't hooked up, but it's a big heart. It's a word cloud with every word in it that relates to the fruit of the Spirit. And naturally, inside of the heart, the very center is going to be love. Because in Galatians 5:20, that's the first attribute of the Spirit is love. Now, we turn to Ephesians 5. And this is my study tonight. Ephesians 5:1-10. "Says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in" what? "Love. As Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." And then it goes on to the works of the flesh again. "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For ye know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." In 9. "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord." Now, in verse 9 says, "For the fruit of the Spirit." Getting back to the older manuscripts, Spirit is not the proper word. The older manuscripts, it's light. So it should read, "For the fruit of the light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." The Greek form for light is phos. It's the opposite of darkness. And it's used specifically of God. When we look at the fruit in the earthly aspect of it, of the fruit of the plant is the finished product of what has been nurtured through the root and all the nutrients that produces the fruit. So hence you hear the term root and the fruit. In Stuart Allen's book, The Unfolding Purpose of God, he states that salvation, sanctification, and the foundation of doctrine of God's Word may be likened to a root. And I totally agree with that. Let's turn to Colossians 2, 6 and 7. It states, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And then in Ephesians 3:17 we read, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. This fruit is a practical response of the Christian life. And constantly being earnest in it on a daily basis, we as body members, or even Christians in general, are put upon a pedestal and are judged by the world for our very actions. I know we all see it on a daily basis. If we step out of line one little bit, well, you're a Christian. You're not supposed to act like that. So we, through the direction of Paul's message in Ephesians, are to be the light-filled fruit. This light is Christ. Christ is in us. In John, we have an example of this fruit-bearing tree. Christ giving a message to His disciples to produce fruit. The vine is Christ. And the branches spoken of in John are His disciples to produce fruit through spreading His gospel. John 15:1-8. I am Christ. I am God, the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. This is in a prior dispensation. This is not true for today. He's talking to the disciples to go forth to all the nations, okay? Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. God, Christ. No more can ye expect ye to abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. Even though this is dispensational, we can take this as practical truth for today also, because we keep Christ in us and we produce His fruit. For without me, Christ, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered. A man gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be given to you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Again, in horticulture, bearing fruit without light can't be done. There can be no fruit proper ripening in darkness. And this is just as true in the spiritual realm. If we walk in the light of rightly divided word, God's fruit will be the natural consequence that is only a figurative way of describing a worthy walk. when the following three attributes are followed in all goodness, righteousness, and truth that's in verse 9. And I'll read it again. For the fruit of the light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. The outworking of the fruit is filled to the full with goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness is the virtues. If I had the word cloud, you could read every word in here. That's the virtues. The center being love, and the very base just happened to come up truth. Because that's the foundation of God's Word is truth. Righteousness is Christ's direction. Truth, His Word. So when we soberly, consciously, intentionally allow Christ to direct our path with the virtues of His goodness, directed by Christ's direction in His Word, which is truth, we will shine with the light that is spoken of. And there is no better feeling when you do what is right. When the world looks at you saying you're a fool for putting yourself out for such a cause. Be the light of Christ. The light from the giver, Christ, another witness as to being indwelled with Christ's light. The light from Christ, the light from Christ is a fingerprint that makes the body member's appearance stand above an earthly, fleshly man, because the flesh is destruction. But a fruitful walk stands out among the witness, where their light shines forth. In Weist, the word light is phos, referring to light itself, not a mere lamp. Expositors say the completeness of the change is indicated again by the use of the abstract term supposed, possessed, and penetrated, whereby by that truth that they could be described not simply as enlightened, but as themselves now light. And this in the Lord. For it was in virtue of their fellowship with Christ that this new apprehension of things come to them, transforming their lives. Michael was up here and stated, we could preach all night on the virtues of Christ. Amen. And that's what I plan on doing. In verse 10 of chapter 5, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Or Rotherham puts it, putting to the test what is well-pleasing to the Lord. That proving, the Greek form is dukomazo, as making an example, put to the test, examine, prove, testing. And Luke as testing or proving the will of God. In Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the verse that we stand on, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What is the main attribute that allows the body to be perfect fruit of Christ's life? It's love. In Ephesians 4:12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, coming to the unity of the faith, 13, measured to the maturity of the fullness of Christ. Speaking truth in love, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Ephesians 4:24. And that you put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Getting back to Ephesians 5:1-2. Because that was in 4. This leads up to chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. A children is about as innocent as you could ask for. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So this savoring is reaching the upon heavenlies. God is, he's basking in it. He loves it. In Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness, faith. And then you got Ephesians. You notice that every time Paul repeats a statement, he makes it a deeper, what's the word, presentation to the understanding. The first response was, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then in Ephesians, the fruit of the light. He makes it deeper because the light is Christ. Throughout Scripture, I can't read them all, but throughout Scripture, Christ is mentioned as the light. The first occurrence of love in Colossians, after the address to the saints and faithful in Christ, which are at Colossians, we have the first attribute, is faith in Christ, and then what? Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. In Colossians 3:17-19. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, that Christ is the root to your understanding, that He's the foundation that you, we, me, live our life to, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Love is expressed throughout Scripture, and especially through Christ. Even Christ Himself directed, a new commandment I give unto you. In John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. In 1 John 2:8, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. I don't know it, but I see the law in abeyance every time he says that. There are examples of light throughout Scripture, but a couple just stands out to me. And the first one was Moses. Where did Moses come from? I got in trouble up here my first study that I presented. I brought Moses into the picture, and I failed to introduce right division into it, I guess. I think that's why I got in trouble. So we're going to say that Moses, we know what dispensation Moses is in. He's not in truth for today, okay? But Moses actually glowed at one point. Not his hair turned white. Well, I guess his hair could have turned white. I might have jumped ahead of it. But after he done wrote the Ten Commandments one time and they came down and had to bust them because of the stiff-necked, to put it politely, Jews, he went up to God again. And he was talking to God another 40 days. 40 days he was talking with God. In Exodus 33:18-23, and he, Moses, was asking God. So I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he, God, said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon the rock. Where does that? Does that sound familiar to everybody? Moses standing upon a rock? How many times in Scripture is this rock referred to Christ? And it shall come to pass, while my glory pass by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock. Okay, well now, he's not only on the rock, now God has put Moses in the rock. What is that significance of? Being in Christ? I think we could put it as that. I see it plain as day. And I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. One could say, looking at the natural world, and say, how can he do that with his hand? Because he's God. He can do that. He can put his hand anywhere he wants to. He's not connected like we are. And as he goes by, I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts. But my face shall not be seen. And after he did all this, and Moses wrote the ten sayings that we know today as the Ten Commandments, and he went down and presented these to the children of Israel. In chapter 34, verse 35, and the children of Israel saw Moses, the face of Moses, and the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put a veil upon his face again until he went to speak with him, God. So, when I read that, it kind of took me aback, even though I've already read it before several times, but it just kind of hit me. The several aspects how Moses can be tied with Christ in the aspect of the rock, and how Moses actually shined with a glow. And what is that glow? That glow is going to be the smallest amount of particle of light that God has is on Moses. Okay. What is light? Right? Light consists of photons, which are essentially tiny packets of energy. When an object's atoms heat up, this results in production of photons. Is how photon production occurs in most cases. So when you look at the what's the smallest measure known to man? Atom? No. You have photons, electrons, and another one. Neutrons. Well, guess what, people? There's one even smaller. It is on another page. Oh, man, it's here. But anyway, I do know the name of it. It's a quark. Q-U-A-R-K. There's three of them inside of each electron, neutron, and what? I don't forget it. Y'all know it. But they don't even know what's inside of a quark, okay? God does. And I got a feeling He placed that on Moses. When we look at the energy of light, when we ride out into the sunshine, we can feel God's energy. If you stay out in it a little bit too long, you can feel it stinging. Light can hurt you. Man has created lasers. I done got my papers messed up. Okay. I got ahead of myself. No, I didn't get ahead of myself. I just got lost, okay? In all my excitement. There it is. It's a quark. It's the smallest thing in the universe. And the speed of light, just while I'm there, is equal to 186,282 miles per second. Just a little tidbit of information that you might want to know. Y'all might be asked that at some point this week. In 1 Corinthians 10:4, talking about the rock, and all drank the spiritual drink, for they drank the spiritual rock, which flowed, which followed them. In Psalms 27:5, for the time of trouble, He shall hide them in His pavilion, in the secret of His tabernacle, and shall hide them, hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And talking, this is David. Another light that comes to remembrance of me, that we all are very familiar with. Light on the road to Damascus. When the Apostle Paul was knocked down by that light, he couldn't even see for 3 days. Was it the light that put that blinding scales on his eyes? Well, it was God. It could be the light. In 1 Timothy 6, I have 1 Timothy 6:16, but let's back up a couple of verses. 1 Timothy 6. We'll start in 11. But thou, O man of God, follow these things and follow after righteousness, goodness, goodliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give these charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. And remembering back when that confession was taking place, the last thing Pontius Pilate asked him says, "What is truth?" Christ didn't say a thing because Christ is truth. It's as simple as that. And 14, that thou keepest this commandment without spot. What commandment? Back up in 11. The commandments of the virtues of love, righteousness, goodliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, in verse 11. That's the commandment of love. Without spot, that start over in 14, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Christ Jesus, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath more immortality, who only hath immortality. I think we got some brick and mortar churches are going to have a problem with that. You know where I'm coming from. Dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. In Romans 13:12, the apostle says, "For the night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Again, Christ. Armor, Christ. We see it in Ephesians 6. The whole armor of God. Christ, 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 Christ. Throughout every piece of material that's displayed is going to be Christ. In John. In John 1:8-9. John was not the light, but everybody thought he was. But John was not that light. He was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Why was this such a big deal? I mean, to the people of the time now, to the people of the time, when this was taking place, why was it the big deal? It's been 400 years since they've had a great teacher appear in Israel. The events of his birth and life had excited the attention of the masses. His bold message, like the cry of Elias, 400 years since they've heard it. In 1 John, he's talking that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, cleanses us from sin. In Romans 13:12, oh, I've done said that, the armor of light. Just can't help it. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, as shine in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Yeah, this is a prior dispensation, but this is practical truth, people. All day long. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. In Acts 13:47, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light unto the Gentiles. Okay, now Paul's a light. Holy cow. Wow, even Paul's a light. To the Gentiles. And that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. In Acts 12:7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side, telling him to raise up and get out, arise quickly. And the chain fell off of him. That one's free. I'll give that one to you. And I think I've heard Cecil say that a few times. In closing, we'll read some scripture from Colossians. Colossians 1:27, and then I'm going to go to Colossians 3:12-15. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. If Christ is light throughout Scripture, what is in you? The light. We are the light. The fruit of the light. Colossians 3:12-15. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Have you heard elect before? His chosen people? This is a different election, people. It's better. Look it up. I promise you. Holy and beloved, bowels and mercies of kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Above all these, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Thank you.